Our sermon text this morning is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. And as you turn there, I just want to point something out. When we began our series in Proverbs, I said that we would not be going through the entire book. As a matter of fact, what we have done so far is we've laid a foundation for understanding the book of Proverbs. We've taught that it is a book that is meant to lead us into wisdom. It is a book that reminds us that wisdom comes through the fear or the reverence of the Lord. And we have looked at different passages that have shown us what that reverence, that fear looks like as it is worked out in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And so today will be the last installment of this series. And the next series that we will start with will be Galatians, the book of Galatians, a great gospel-centered book. And so as we come now to Proverbs 4, verse 20 and 27, we'll be looking at the heart of a Christian, guarding our heart. And so as we prepare then to read and study His Word, let us come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise You for giving us the Scriptures. We praise You for speaking to us. For without these, how could we hear Your word? True, Your creation speaks volumes of Your power and Your majesty. But only in Your word do we hear of Jesus Christ. Only in Your word are we convicted of our sin. Only in Your word are we given the remedy for that sin, which is the Lord Jesus. And so we praise You for it, and we ask that You would guide the reading and the study of Your word today and work it into our hearts, that we might be made more like Christ and so give You honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. The French reformer John Calvin had made a seal during his ministry in Geneva that portrayed a hand holding a heart and reaching out to give that heart to God. This was his personal seal that he used to seal documents with, you know, letters and other documents. Back in those days when you would write a letter to someone, you would fold it over, and where the opening of the fold was, you would pour wax, and then you would put a seal on there so the person knew exactly who it was coming from. It gave it a sense of authority. And Calvin's seal was his hand holding a heart being reached out to God. Supposedly, Calvin's personal motto was, I offer my heart to thee, O Lord, promptly and sincerely. Now, whether Calvin had actually said those words or they were simply inferred later because of the picture on his seal is debatable, but it's not a bad motto for a Christian to have. I offer my heart to thee, O Lord, promptly and sincerely. In gratitude for our great salvation in Christ, it's only reasonable to offer all that we are, that is, our heart, to God. And so today I want to talk about the heart of a Christian, how to know what a healthy spiritual heart looks like, and how to keep it from spiritual damage. Since our text deals with that subject, I want us then to turn again. And as we do, I want this main point to guide our thoughts in the study of His Word. A healthy spiritual heart can only be measured by one's relationship with Jesus. Therefore, entrust all that you are and could ever be to Jesus, and He will guard it. Now, as we come to our passage, like so many different places in Proverbs, we see a father admonishing his son. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Whoop, I'm in the wrong one. My son, be attentive to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to their flesh. So here we have a father gently speaking to his son. And because this father is giving his son counsel that flows out of his knowledge of God, we can draw an analogy with God, who is our heavenly Father. Just as this earthly father wants to remind his son what is greatest importance, so God wants to remind his children what is most important in their life. In fact, God would have us know what our true life consists of. And so you should take notice of the sense of importance in our text. Just look at the words this father is using. Be attentive. Incline your ear. Let my words not escape. Keep them within your heart. Now, if you've ever read the Bible, maybe particularly Psalm 119 or the words of Jesus, you've heard this urgency before. Psalm 119 says, "Thy word I have hidden in my heart." Something that we should hide as a treasure in our heart. And Jesus says, "Let him who has ears to hear, listen to my words." So throughout the Bible, God calls us to pay careful attention to his words. And why is that? Why is that so important? Well, this father says that they are life and they are healing. And doesn't Jesus tell us the same thing? Doesn't he say that his words are life in John chapter 6? And Peter agrees with him later on in that same chapter when he says, "You have the words of eternal life." And so, like this father, God has some words to tell you about life and about spiritual health. And what he says is that the heart is to be guarded above all else. Look at verse 23. "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Now, our translation, the Pew Bible that you have there, the ESV, translate this as "keep your heart with all vigilance." What does that mean? To keep the heart literally means to guard it, to watch over it, the way someone would watch over something that is very valuable, to pay close attention to the condition of your heart. The opposite, of course, would be what the fool would do, to ignore what is happening in your heart. At this point, we need to remember what is meant by the heart, what the biblical writer means by that. It's not simply the organ that pumps blood through our body. It's actually your innermost being, your mind and your will, what we would call our soul. The heart, truly, is all that you are as a person. It's all that you are as a person. And yet, when we think of the physical heart, there are some very good analogies that we can draw between the physical heart and our spiritual heart. For instance, if you have chest pains or heart palpitations, it's a good idea to take that seriously and to find out what's going on inside of you. And it's also important to take notice of what is going on inside of your spiritual heart, inside of your soul. What does your soul look like today? That's very, very important. Oftentimes when we hear that, we think of sin right away, right? Is there sin dwelling in my heart? Now, I don't mean here that you should obsess over sin. Some people do that. In fact, that can actually sometimes work against you. It can make you worse. It can cause people to give up on Christ. There was a survey done a few years ago, quite a few years ago now, but it's still relevant today. A survey was taken with people who had left the church. And when they were asked why they had left, what was the main reason? One of the main reasons why people left is they felt they could not measure up to the standard that was presented to them from the pulpits. I have to wonder, where was the gospel of God's grace at that time? But you can see what can happen when a person obsesses over their sin and fails to concentrate on the grace of God. You know, we look back at our own Protestant history, and the Puritans were very good at doing this. Some Puritans actually kept a daily journal of the sins that they committed throughout the day so that that night they wouldn't forget to confess them to God. Now, I appreciate the fact that they wanted to make sure their heart was right before the Lord, but I don't see any biblical warrant for that. It's a little over the top, if you ask me. And yet, it is dangerous. It is very dangerous to allow sin to take root in our heart. Hebrews warns us to not allow a root of bitterness to flourish within our hearts. And the reason why it is so dangerous is because it affects your walk with God. And your walk with God determines everything about your life. From the heart, our text says, flows the springs of life. You know, New York City is known to have some of the best water of any city in the world. Did you know that? They've done tests with New York City's water, and they, a blind test where they've given a person bottled water and New York City water, and oftentimes New York City water, it comes out on top. It's wonderful, and there's a reason for that. It comes straight out of the Catskill Mountains, from the springs and the reservoirs and the rivers and the Catskills. It's carried by aqueducts into the city and gives life to millions of people. But what if those aqueducts were poisoned? What if those aqueducts were poisoned? That thing that carries life would bring death to the city, bring death to the entire city. In the very same way, whatever is in your heart affects your entire life. It has a bearing on your relationship with God and consequently on your relationship with everyone else with whom you come in contact. Now, the question we might ask then is, how do I really know the condition of my heart? How do I know what's going on inside of myself? After all, doesn't the prophet Jeremiah even say, the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things? Who can know it? Well, yes, he does say that. He says that. But if you're a Christian, Scripture declares that you have been given the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God lets you know what's going on in your heart. In fact, the Spirit of God convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. And He's given us a way to examine ourselves, even here in this text which we read today. And why does He do that? Why does the Spirit of God do that? So we can turn away from sin and turn to Christ and find forgiveness in our Lord. In fact, here in our text, there are three ways in which we can measure our heart. And the first is that we measure the condition of our heart by paying attention to our speech. By paying attention to our speech. Verse 24 says, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Now, it seems mostly here to concentrate on deceitful speech, but any speech that is harmful and hurtful is crooked or perverse. Even when good words are spoken, they can be turned to evil, depending on the motive behind them. I mean, isn't that the whole problem with flattery? Someone flatters you because they're deceiving you. They're trying to manipulate you oftentimes. And Jesus tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Words and the way they are used are a window into your heart to show you what is there. People whose hearts are given over to the Lord Jesus are also known by their words. You can see Christ in a person by the things they say. Now, that doesn't mean that we're perfect. Certainly, no one is sinless in this world. We all fail. But if Christ is active in your heart, there's a willingness to even verbalize your sin, that you confess it one to another. You confess it to the Lord because you have a Savior who forgives, and you're trusting in that Savior. Your speech is seasoned with grace rather than backbiting and talebearing. You speak the truth in love because there's a gentleness of the Savior coming right out of your heart, flowing out of your heart towards others. And the second way we measure the condition of our heart is by our focus in life. It says in verse 25, "Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you." Our text tells us to look directly ahead, to keep your gaze straight. When it says that, it is an admonition to have a single-minded focus in your life. A single-minded focus. And for the Christian, that focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when a person is learning to ride a horse, he's told to look only where he wants the horse to go. Because where you turn your head signals to that horse where you want it to move. And that horse will go in directions you don't want it to go if you're not looking where you want to go. You know, our heart is like that. If we turn our gaze to all kinds of things in this world, we will turn our heart to those things as well. If you take your eyes off Jesus, your heart turns to many other things. Sometimes those things can be religious in nature. Do you know that? It's an odd thing to say. But sometimes our religious performance can take the place of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. We begin to try to justify ourselves, to become righteous before God by the things that we do. We're focusing on what we do rather than what Christ has done for us on the cross. But then again, we can be drawn away by the sinful pursuits of pleasure in this life. And when that happens, it leads us into a very confusing state. A very confusing state. Because we end up with a divided loyalty. In one sense, we want to follow the Lord, but we are drawn constantly to these other things that are forbidden, that are hurtful and harmful, not only to us, but to other people. And you begin then, when that happens, to even question whether God loves you, because this is a very hard bondage to break. You know, your heart will always focus on what is most precious to you. Do you know that? Your heart will always focus on what is most precious to you. What is most precious to you today? Is Jesus Christ your treasure? Is he your treasure? Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Is he your focus? The answer to that tells you something about the condition of your heart. And thirdly, we measure the condition of our heart by the path we walk. It says in our text, "Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." So throughout the Proverbs, as we said over and over again, it gives us two paths to walk, or two ways to go in life. One is the path of wisdom. The other is the path of folly or foolishness. One leads to life. The second leads to death. Our text tells us to ponder, to consider the path that you are on. This is more than just giving a passing thought to your life, to the way you are living. It is telling you to be sure of the road you are on. Jesus said there is a broad road that leads to destruction, and many walk on that road. but there is a narrow road that leads to life. The narrow road is the path of faith that you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout your life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the pathway you are to ponder, you are to consider. Do you know what this pathway really is? This pathway is simply getting to know Jesus just a little bit more. I'm not talking about reading your Bible or having quiet time. Those things are important in life. But what I am talking about here is simply living with Jesus day to day by faith in Him. Believing that Jesus Christ cares for you, even when you might sin. You fall down and get very bloodied, and Christ doesn't forsake you. He's still there. He is, as Steve Brown likes to say, He is fond of you. He's fond of you. It's believing that He cares for you, even when you are hurting in this life. When you are emotionally distraught and the dullness of the day-to-day routine sets in and you wonder what the point of it all is, Jesus Christ doesn't leave you. He is still there. He cares for you. When you are rejected by others or when doubts assail you, Christ still walks with you. He cares for you when you're on the mountaintop experiences and you were down into the valley of the shadow. He is still there with you. Isn't that wonderful? See, don't swerve from that path. Don't swerve from the Lord Jesus. He is too good to be forsaken. Now, what's the bottom line of all this that I'm saying? Well, did you notice that the three measurements of your heart's condition are all about Jesus? Did you notice that? They're not about you. They're all about Jesus. A healthy heart, a healthy soul is seen in a speech influenced by Jesus, in a focus upon Jesus, in walking with Jesus Christ by faith. And we are told to guard, to keep such a heart. But the marvelous thing here is that when we are close to Jesus, the one who actually guards our heart is Christ Himself. It's Christ Himself. And doesn't this echo the words of the Apostle Paul when he writes, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him. Like everything else in the Christian life, guarding the heart is nothing less than staying healthy before the Lord. It's all about Jesus who guards the heart for us. It's His work. He has begun a good work in you, Christian. He has begun a good work in you, and He will complete it, He has promised. And this is why I began by saying a healthy spiritual heart can only be measured by one's relationship with Jesus. Therefore, entrust all that you are and ever could be to Jesus, and He will guard it. He will guard it. Let that thought capture your mind this week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus, and we pray that Jesus Christ would guard over our hearts so that we would be attentive to Your word, so that we would be mindful of the springs of life that flow from Him, so that our speech would overflow with grace, that our focus would be on Christ and not on all the things of this world, particularly those sins that so easily ensnare us. And that we would walk with Jesus, trusting in Him and Him alone as our great Savior and Lord. We ask this in His name. Amen.